I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
Football on off the ball.
Michael Duffy he's one of the best players that there has ever been probably in the League of Ireland. And at the moment, I'd say this last 2 years, 3 years even, he's just evergreen.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
I'm delighted to be joined by Cavan football captain Aisling Sheridan. Today, Aisling is speaking at the launch of the Ladies Gaelic Football Association's powerful new campaign, For the Love of Our Sport, ahead of International Women's Day. This campaign sets out to capture the heart and the soul of the game as a rallying cry for everyone to get behind the 2026 Little National Football Leagues and TG Cahir All-Ireland Ladies Gaelic Football Championships. Aisling, how are you?
I'm great, thank you. How are you?
All good, all good. We had a good win for DCU last night. You'll be delighted to hear.
Yeah, I've seen that as right. No, it's brilliant to see DCU, yeah, still doing well. So I'm happy with that.
I had a little look at the year that you won the O'Connor Cup. That was some stacked team.
Literally, yeah, I know. Like, it's funny because when you look at our team, the year we won, we played UL in the final. It's interesting when you count up the amount of players that maybe have gone across to Australia and whatnot, but yeah, no, I still always look back to that team I was involved in. Like, I think probably one of the highest, I don't know, standards of teams. I was so many talented footballers on that panel, and then even, you know, UL were our big rivals back then, and they were a stacked team as well. So yeah, it was brilliant that year to get the win. It was a tough one though, but we got there.
Yeah, it almost turns into like all-star teams versus all-star teams at the end of the third level competitions, doesn't it?
Yeah, 100%. That's it. Like, when I think back, like, I don't even want to name off names of who was on our team.
Because, give us a few, because so, people would be surprised.
I'll go with my housemates anyways, but so it was me, Aisling Maloney from Tipperary, Sarah Rowe and Sarah Rowe from Mayo and Maren Atkinson from Monaghan, and then we had Vicky Wall, we had Laura McGee, we had Niamh Kelly, you had Leah Caffrey, Deirdre Ganey. Like, there was just so many talented footballers. We had Laura McGinley from Dublin. Like, I'm probably going to forget a few, so I'm going to stop there, but yeah, that was on our team. So we had really a good lot of people. Yeah,
we're here chatting because of International Women's Day and the Ladies Gaelic Football Association, but it also happens to be Women in Sport Week. And I see Cavan Ladies Football had a post up this week, and one of the women mentioned was your mother, Monica.
It was so nice to see her mentioned. You know, she didn't even know that was happening. It was our cousin was texting us, you know, have you any photos of your mom playing football and of you all together? But shout out to my mom, because she is an absolute superwoman. She had four daughters, and you know, like, I remember only recently, a few years ago, she was still playing football up right until, you know, we were all playing alongside her. And I think, you know, you'd be calling, she'd be in goals, you'd be, mom, pass the ball. So, no, she's an absolute trooper. And, you know, she does so much, and she always has done for the club and the county. I mean, she has washed our jersey since, I'd say, I started playing underage football, you know, that kind of thing. She's always making food for us after training for the whole club and stuff like that. And, yeah, no, she's just a superwoman, especially after having four daughters and then still being able to go out and play football. She played county football herself as well, and Camogie. So, you know, she just shows really the power of a woman as well. Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say, a lot of the time we see that role of washing the jerseys, creating the food for all the team. But your mom did play for Cavan. And how important was it growing up having a female role model like that who was actively playing?
Oh, it's so important. And I, like, even at that, my dad played county football as well. So, like, I always look back on my childhood, and when I say I was out on the football pitch every evening, I'd say, like, between man playing sports. So we all just went, and that was us kind of being, you know, going to the games, and we'd go off and find ourselves or watch man playing. And the same with dad when he was playing too. And then dad did a lot of coaching. Like, he coached us when we won the Intermediate All Ireland at Cavan in 2013. And, you know, he coached Mullaghorn a lot all the way up through and coached Cavan and stuff. But mam was always involved, and saying that she always helped coach, you know, that kind of thing, especially when you have four daughters. And we were all very sporty in my house, and there's not many years between us, so we were always kind of at the one thing together. Whether my older sisters were under 14 training, I'd probably be up running around chasing them. But I always remember, you know, when my parents were involved in sport and coaching, like, I was the I'm the youngest in my house, and like, my sisters might be training, or it might be the senior women training, so mam would have been training, and, you know, dad might have been over them, so he'd give me a head start, or me and my sisters a head start, like 20 meters ahead of where they're doing the runs. And we do the runs nearly with them, where the women had to try catches and stuff. So I've been very lucky to have that kind of role model. It's been brilliant seeing my dad, but also just to be involved with my mom and stuff as well. It just, I suppose it kind of helped me shape me to be the footballer I am today, and the person.
And your sisters as well, lining out for Cavan. You've gotten to play together at club level, but also county level together as well. How special is that?
Oh, it's so special. I think any time you can put on, you know, your county jersey to represent it, there is that kind of special moment, and especially then alongside my sisters. And even a club, you know, we actually have a club game this weekend, and it's the first round of the league, and it'll be the first time I'll be lining out with my sisters again since maybe the last 2 years, because two of my sisters had babies, gorgeous two little nephews. So, you know, we're already really excited just to be back lining out together as well in our blue and yellow jersey for our club. But to be able to play county alongside my sisters, it was brilliant for me, because I was 16 coming into the panel, doing my leave and cert, involved in the county minor panel as well. So, you know, it's such a daunting experience going playing senior football, and obviously, you know, you're seeing yourself as a baby back then, and all these women, and, you know, it was great to kind of integrate me into that kind of, age group and stuff like that. But yeah, no, it was always nice to have them, especially because there's always lots of ups and downs with sport. And I think being close to your team is really important. But I think, you know, having your sisters there, especially when maybe there's a few little down moments, whether that's injury or stuff, just having them there to kind of be that shoulder to cry on, I suppose, has been really nice. But yeah, no, whether it's to play club or county alongside my sisters, I always really, really appreciate that.
And you mentioned that Intermediate All-Ireland final win when you beat Tipperary. Your sisters are on the panel. Your dad is the coach. You are just a teenager. What kind of memories do you have from that day?
It's funny. I look back and I just remember the pure excitement. I think because I was so young, I probably didn't take it in as much as I should have, or I probably didn't appreciate the moment it was, in terms of like that All-Irelands don't come around that often, or that, you know, this is really, really special moment to be in Croke Park alongside some of your family members. But I always look back and just the pure enjoyment of just seeing so many blue and white flags and, you know, been, I suppose, all over Croke Park. And I think that's one moment I look back to that I want to experience that for myself, now that I understand how much hard work has to go in to actually get to that kind of All-Ireland final day, or to achieve success with your county. Because, you know, I think with Cavan, we went through a good few years there where we probably weren't achieving anything. So I think it just would make it all that more sweeter to hopefully get there someday. But I only look back on that, you know, it was such an amazing day, and like, so grateful again to have so many family members around me. But again, hopefully can experience that another time.
Yeah, when you're that age, it can maybe just seem like, oh, this must happen every year. But you're putting your best foot forward so far in 2026. You were promoted to Division 2 last year of the league, and so far it can always be a daunting step up. You might face the, oh, will they go immediately down, but unbeaten so far in Division 2.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's, it's so true. I think when I look back to my last few years playing with Cavan, you know, we made it to Division 2 league finals, but at that time only the winner went up. So Cavan has never played in Division 1 football, I'm nearly sure. So, you know, I think there was a good few years we did compete in Division 2 and probably weren't competing in senior championship as much. And then we went through, I'd say, a period there where, you know, we were just about getting by. So I think last year was a good building block year for us. I think we knew we were Division 3 and we needed to get out of it. We were playing Intermediate, Ulster Championship and All-Ireland Series, and you're playing against teams that are already in Division 2. And we knew we needed to get to that standard. So, yeah, we had our first game against Mayo, which we knew was going to be an absolute battle. It was a home game for us and it finished a draw. And then, you know, we've had tough games along the way. And, you know, obviously been able to compete against the likes of your Mayo, and Donegal has kind of instilled this kind of belief in us that, you know, we do belong in Division 2 and that, you know, we do have the talent and the work rate there to hopefully keep pushing on. But yeah, like it's been a good year so far, but at the end of the day, nothing has been won yet. So, you know, I won't get too excited about what we've got so far.
What would your expectations be for this Cavan team for 2026? Then you set them out at the start of the year. I mean, you always want to play well, but do you put definitive goals on it for this team?
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, there was probably years where you'd be setting the goal being like, oh, you want to, it's funny, you'd be like, oh, we want to compete or we want to hold our status at Division 2 or senior or that. But I remember this, I suppose, for our 2026 goals, I think a big focus for us was our championship. I feel we played the All-Ireland quarterfinal last year and we didn't do ourselves justice. You know, we left a lot behind us that day. And I think that's one day we look back on with so much regret that we probably didn't show up the way we should have. So I think that was always that fresh goal in our mind this year that, right, we really want to do well in Ulster Championship because it's always so competitive, but we want to nail our foot down in that kind of All-Ireland Series. And then I think it was me that kind of, when we were talking through the goals, I was the one that kind of popped up and said, well, like, I'd like to think that we'd make a league final if we could, you know, that kind of thing. I don't think we really were talking too much about league at the moment because Championship was still so fresh in our mind. And it was me that I was kind of like, I can't see why we couldn't make a league final. I mean, you're playing against really tough teams, but I just know the panel we do have that depth there to, you know, really compete in that. And I think, you know, maybe at the start of, I suppose, league, there might have been a few spectators that probably didn't think that we could compete against your senior teams like your Mayo and stuff. But I think now we've kind of showed people that, yeah, we do have that kind of talent there and that work rate and that willing to try be successful.
Yeah, I think it's a big moment.
The League of Ireland is live and exclusive again this Friday on Off the Ball.
There's still time here.
Last Friday night, the champions were battered by arch-rivals Bohemians.
Rovers haven't been good enough.
It was a late show, and to whom it may concern, Bradley's boys made sure this week's opponents were duly warned.
Aaron Green has made it 3-2, a game that was over.
Pretenders to the throne, Derry City came from behind to beat Waterford's with a couple of late ones themselves, and talisman Mikey Duffy struck again.
It's picked up by Mikey Duffy. Really well.
On Friday, the Candy Stripes come to Dublin looking to throw the gauntlet down to Rovers. Shamrock Rovers versus Derry City at Tallaght Stadium is live and exclusive on Off the Ball from 7 this Friday on News Talk and the Go Loud app.
League of Ireland on Off the Ball.
Ah, Di Stefano. There's always tenor when he moves.
From the barrios of Buenos Aires to the roaring nights of Madrid, this episode traces the extraordinary journey of Alfredo Di Stefano, the visionary who redefined modern football. Born in Argentina, forged in the breakaway leagues of Colombia with Millonarios, and immortalized in Spain, he became the heartbeat of a dynasty. But what if the man they called La Saeta Rubia had taken a different path and gone to Real Madrid's biggest rivals, Barcelona? Find out on episode 6 of Richie McCormack's Sliding Doors podcast as to how European football could have been changed as we know it. Coming to you this Monday in your OTB football podcast feed for free.
And of course, we have the new rules being trialled this year during the league. How are you finding playing in them?
Brilliant. I can't say I've any kind of negativity towards them. I think they've enhanced the game so much. You know, especially that kind of solo and goal rule and the three up rule. I think it has just allowed for a lot more free-flowing game and not as defensive football where the ball's just kind of being over and back the pitch and it's a very low-scoring game. I think you're seeing a lot more excitement in these games. Even if you see any clips on social media, there's always a little bit of air of excitement about different games. Even the two-pointers, you're seeing lots and lots of people kick two-pointers. Now it's kind of becoming a regular thing. So that's absolutely brilliant to see. But I have to say, I personally think it's enhanced the game so much and I'm so glad to see them in. Hopefully it will come into kind of that club football as well and kind of going to be the new normal. But so far, I think it's been absolutely brilliant and probably needed in the game.
If I can just chat to you a little bit about your time in Australia as well, Aisling. You went over, signed for Collingwood, got to play with Sarah Rowe, former teammate of yours at DC that we spoke about earlier. What was your favourite thing about AFLW?
I think, like, when I look back on it, I just remember that whole experience. It was just so amazing. Like, you're pushing yourself out of that comfort zone. You're essentially starting a new sport that you are going to be bad at. That's the reality, because you're learning a whole new rule system. You're learning a whole new ball. And you're really starting from the bottom, you know, that kind of thing. Yes, physically and, you know, fitness wise, you're there. But confidence wise, you know, you're really starting at the bottom and it is a tough place. But I think for me personally, just it developed me so much as a person and a player. And an athlete in general. I just feel like I took so much from it. I got to learn off some of the top people over there, you know, that have been playing the game for many years and having access to coaches, whether that's your forward coach, midfield coach, back, you know, you really had access to them anytime you wanted. You know, for me, learning the game, I had to go in and practice skills every other day that we weren't training and try really get my confidence up with that. And then obviously you have access to top S&Cs and everything like that. So just being involved with that professional environment and having everything kind of on your doorstep was probably an amazing opportunity. And with that, you meet so many amazing people. Like, I look back on my teammates and I love them all so, so much. Like, it was a really, really hard decision to not go back. And I felt like I was letting so many of them down. But I know I've made lifelong friends over there. And, you know, it's something I'll always look back on and be so, so happy that I suppose I took that chance to go over there and throw my hat at it.
What was it for you that made that final decision to come home?
Oh, like, it was a tough one, I'm not going to lie. Like, I think I really went into my own shell when I came home. I came home December 2023, and I think what I always struggled with was you'd come home and everyone kept asking, so when are you going back? And I remember at that time I had another year on my contract, and like, obviously those closest to me kind of knew, like, you know, Aisling doesn't really know what she was doing. I remember my club team was in two championship finals 2 years I was over there, and like, they'd lost both of them. And, you know, I remember watching them, and like, oh, it was breaking my heart too. But I think for me personally, I knew there was a part of me that was happier at home and ready to put back on my Cavan jersey and just be at home and, you know, really push myself at Gaelic football. But I think I struggled so much with, because if I ever let that slip to anyone, that I think I might stay at home in Ireland. So many people questioned me, being like, oh, sure, what are you doing? Why are you staying here? Why won't you go back? What's for, you know, all this kind of thing. So then that kind of made me, like, my always having deep conversations with my family, my partner, being like, everyone's telling me that I'm making the wrong decision and I don't know what to do here. Like, you know, I was nearly being influenced by what other people were telling me, but I knew myself, I was my happiest at home in Ireland. And I think that goes a long way. As I said to someone before, the grass is greener where you water it. And I really enjoyed my time over there, but was I my happiest self? I don't think so. I think I was missing home that little bit more. And I did 5 seasons and I was really proud of that. But I was kind of like, no, I'm ready to come home and I'm ready to just kind of go back to where I'm probably at my happiest and just take that pressure off myself. So the club were so, so good to me. They allowed me to take that year off, 2024, to myself and just focus on, you know, getting myself back to probably being my happiest version and whatnot. And then they kind of asked me again, you know, what was my thoughts? But I was kind of more content then. I was like, no, I know I made the right decision staying at home in Ireland. I was very lucky. We won the Ulster Club Championship that year as well. I made it to the Ireland semi-final with my club. But I think for me, I knew I was happy with what I'd done with AFL, but I was ready to come home and get stuck into Gaelic football.
And deciding not to join the Cavan panel that year when you came home as well, was that part of you building your life up again when you come home?
Yeah, 100%. I think, you know, you put so much pressure on yourself to constantly perform And that you're constantly trying to achieve or be the best you can be. And I remember I went into the panel, and I remember talking to the manager at the time, and I was like, I'm going to be completely honest with you. I don't know whether I'm going to be in Ireland in 4 months' time or I'm going to be in Australia. I go, to be honest, I don't know where I'm at the moment. I'm so completely lost right now. I'm going to throw my hat at it. And I went, and I think I went for like 2 sessions. And I just remember saying to myself, I was like, I can't give 100% here. And I'm the type of person, unless I can give you 100%, I don't want to just go in and half, you know, do something or just kind of be there and body, but not really commit to something. Like when I commit, I fully commit and you're getting that off me. And I remember just being like, I know I can't commit here. Some opportunities come up to travel to South Africa with my family. And I was doing the Camino with my mom. And I'm not that type of person that if I'm on a county panel that, you know, by the way, I'm going to be missing so many games because I'm traveling. So I think I allowed myself that chance to just find my love for sport again, find my love for Gaelic football by playing club football, not putting pressure on myself to just be this high achiever and just then enjoy traveling, enjoy family time. And then again, we were very lucky to have such good club success that year. And I think that just then solidified to me that like I'd made the right decision and that I kind of have found my love again and found that kind of probably self-confidence, I'd say, mostly.
And can you chat to us a bit about that club victory, your intermediate county champions, and then go on to win the Ulster Championship?
Yeah.
The standard of football in Cavan at the moment at club level is evident. You know, you beat Knockbride in the final and then they come back this year and win the All-Ireland Ulster final. But it must have been incredibly special, especially having that difficulty of making the decision to come back home, getting to win it for the club.
Yeah. No, definitely. And that's the thing. I always, I remember we won the county final and like I was so over the moon and like it was a brilliant day. And I think then once you get out of your county final or you get out of your kind of, I suppose your county, anything is a bonus from then on. And you know, there were so many nice family events happening. My sister was getting married and things like that. But I remember after the Ulster final when we won, like I was just so emotional because as I kind of touched on earlier, so many people questioned me on my decision to stay at home from Australia that I felt like I was making the wrong decision because no one could understand why I wasn't going back. And I was like, I'm not getting into it. Why? I just want to stay at home in Ireland. Like, can people nearly just accept that this is my decision? But like so many people were nearly shell-shocked that I didn't want to just stay out there and keep playing. So I remember just after winning the Ulster final, I was just so emotional because, you know, I was like, it kind of just proved to myself I was really enjoying my sport. I was just really enjoying life. I was really happy at the time. And I was like, you know, there's so much more to life than just kind of what people nearly expect of you. But yeah, like when you look at the success of Cav and, you know, I was the underage systems and everything, it's been absolutely amazing. Like you're under 14, 16 minor girls are competing in all Ireland's. Obviously you have Knockbride there being successful. You have our schools as well. Like there's a good few schools in Cav that have been extremely successful in their all Ireland series too as well. So it definitely seems like Cavan's on the up. It's just hopefully being able to keep that conveyor belt going and that they can kind of transition into that kind of senior status as well.
And you're a business owner yourself. A lot of that life experience coming home and making those tough decisions and being in the fitness world, they must have really helped you. And I suppose because we're having the discussion around Women in Sport Week and International Women's Day, do you find that that helps a lot when dealing with clients or even in like the Pilates classes that I know you run for ladies football teams? Does it help having that personal experience?
Oh, 100%. As I kind of said, Australia definitely shaped me to be a better person. And, you know, I learned a lot about myself over there and even just about being a really, like how to be a good teammate. And even then from my own business, I learned so much and took so much from it. Over there is where I kind of started Pilates and realized, you know, what I'd actually love to work in this area. And then obviously have started up my own Pilates stuff as well. But, you know, it definitely has helped with my business as well. Just being, I suppose, that person, you know, a lot of my clients are females and really wanting to achieve that kind of success and be the best athlete they can be. And I think, you know, I've obviously learned a few things along the way about the extra 1%ers you might need to put in and stuff, but also being that kind of, I like to kind of be that friend as well to some people, you know, that, you know, this is my experience and this is the kind of things that kind of worked for me and stuff. But yeah, definitely Australia kind of helped shape me for the better. And like there were so many positives from it, especially for my business and just for my work life and everything like that. Yeah.
I suppose just as a parting word, Aisling, if you have someone out there who's maybe struggling with those decisions where they're finding that they're listening to what other people think they should be doing, would you have any words of advice for them?
Yeah, I think for me, it was about keeping my circle close. Like, not many people, like, I kind of kept very quiet about kind of what I was going through. Obviously, my family and stuff kind of knew. And, like, you know, when people would ask them, oh, well, you know, what's Aisling doing? They kind of just would brush up and like, oh, sure, she'll figure it out herself. But I think deep down, I knew that I wanted to stay in Ireland. And I suppose for me, it was about trusting my own opinion and my gut instinct. It's so easy to be swayed by other people's opinions when it comes to certain things. But I remember taking so many times to myself and maybe doing a bit of journaling and stuff. And every time I wanted to imagine, you know, what my decision would be, or if I was to say sometimes, like if I was to flip a coin, what do I want it to land on? I would always say, well, I wanted to land on the one that says I'll stay in Ireland. So deep down, I knew that that was my decision. So I think you just have to stay true to yourself and what you want to do. I do think the grass is greener where you water it. So, you know, find out what your passion is or what kind of, you know, what suits your lifestyle or maybe your goals best. And yes, you'll have people telling you what to do or maybe throwing suggestions. But at the end of the day, you kind of know yourself and always go with your gut instinct.
Aisling, thanks very much. We'll be keeping a keen eye on Cavan's progress over the league and coming championship. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much.